Today we have our special guest, Johanna Rantanen from the Meanwell Project and also from the Department of Psychology in the University of Jyväskylä. Thank you very much for joining us.
Glad to be here with you today, Vertti.
Great. Our main topic today is meaningfulness in work and studies, and this is going to be really important topic for our international students, especially. I would like you to introduce yourself first a little bit for our audience here.
All right. So I did my PhD in 2008 here in the University of Jyväskylä about how to combine work and family life. And since then I have worked as a researcher but also as a lecturer, studying and teaching about work-related topics just as occupational well-being, but also personality and adult development.
Yeah, sounds like you have really interesting background.
Yeah.
Okay, we should continue for the first question today, which is, Johanna, how is a sense of meaning in studies connected to students' well-being?
Well, I would say that it's basically perhaps the same mechanism than in whether you are in working life or whether you are in family life. It's always if you do things that you kind of see that this makes sense. Mm. This is important. This is valuable for me. That creates well-being.
Absolutely.
There are also many other things that connects to well-being, but now that we are talking about the meaningfulness, so I think the key point is that when you are studying, if you kind of are able to see how the things that you study, the things that you read, the things that you do with your schoolmates, that they somehow give you skills or knowledge that you can see that you can use then when you are going to be working. Every time when you are able to make the connection how this might help you in the working life or develop you as a person, it helps.
Interesting. How could you improve this connection and if you think about conscious improvement, how could students experience a greater sense of meaning in their studies?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. At least for psychology students, probably also in other areas and educations as well, students are yearning for working life experiences. You know, they always, if I say something as a university lecturer, it doesn't kind of sink in a way, same way as somebody coming from out of the field and says the same thing.
That's true.
What the students can do is that they think about the field that they are studying, what kind of different occupations, workplaces there are, and to get familiar with those and then try to think that, okay, now that I have to learn Swedish, I don't really like Swedish, for example, somebody might think, but what if I end up doing my first internship or my first workplace in the western coast of Finland, and there are a lot of Swedish-speaking people there. It would be nice that I would be able to tell those interesting things about my field to them.
Absolutely.
So kind of, you know, look around where the things that you are studying is applied in the society, in the workplaces, and try to connect, you know, make the connection yourself.
Johanna, we were talking about finding those connections and meaningfulness from our daily life during our studies and working life. Does it come up to your mind any other ways for students to prepare themselves for working life, and especially from the perspectives of well-being and meaningfulness?
Well, I would say that it's easy for me to say because I come from the field of psychology, but you know, all those things that help you to know yourself better. Hmm. So kind of, you know, learn how you are as a student, learn how you are as a worker, learn how you are as a friend, colleague. You know, because we are so different. this comes into core of psychology, that for some, for example, to recover from the study stress or work-related stress, music is the best thing. Yeah. But for the others, it might be, you know, social connections. And for others, it's going to the woods, being alone and enjoying the nature. So I would urge you to, as a student, kind of recognize what are those things for you whenever you are stressed out that work for the best. And then, you know, use those as much as you can, especially in those times when there are heavy deadlines and stress, because that's the point when we stop doing those great things that would refresh our well-being and support our well-being. So use those skills that you have, those things that you have recognized most when you are stressed, and not only when everything is okay. Or then you can just discuss with I would say, many people, with your parents, with your friends, but also with your perhaps teachers. Those things that make you kind of what you are passionate about, so that you learn what things makes you really motivated. And then you would be able to, for example, in a work interview, to ask for, I'm that kind of person who works for the best with people around. How is the unity in this workplace supported? So, for example, those things. There are so many things.
So many things. We won't be able to cover all of them.
Yeah,
interesting. You were talking some kind of self-awareness and self-consciousness, perhaps. What about self-esteem related to studies and working life? Is it a different thing? And how can individuals influence it?
Yes, I would say the self-esteem is different, because it usually comes from the feeling that we are really able to do the things that we are doing right now. And then we get a low self-esteem if we realize that we have to do things all the time that we are not good at. Yeah. So what can a person do, of course, is to, you know, try to put a lot of energy and thought on what we are doing. But that's not always the case, that you might be, you know, trying really hard. But if the task, for example, is too difficult for you, that you don't have the skills to do it, it's hard to get the feeling of self-esteem. And if you don't have proper skills, then realize that and ask for example, complementary education or going to a course to teach you those skills. So I think that what would help everyone is that we would learn how to give positive feedback in a very honest way. You know, when you are giving positive feedback, like from everything, and you haven't really earned it, that's not honest. But when we see that somebody does something really good, we would say that, hey, Vertti, you are really good at conducting this interview. You are making myself to be really easy on this situation, for example.
And when it's genuine, it really builds others' self-esteem on that. Then we will talk about meaningful and sustainable career. And Johanna, what factors contribute to this topic, sustainable and meaningful career? And would you like to explain this topic a little bit?
Yeah, huge topic. But if I take one model, it's from DeVos and colleagues, called a sustainable career model. In the heart of that model is an individual who is doing things that are meaningful, and she or he is able to do them in an agentic way. So it means that they are able to influence things in their surroundings, whether it's studies, whether it's working life, whether it's family life, that you do meaningful things and you are able to influence. Then there is, of course, context. As I already said, that the tasks that we have to do, they has to be kind of set in the right relationship between the skills and abilities and interests that we have. So for sustainable career, there is this concept of person-environment fit. which is really, really important. That we are able to kind of find ourselves in a work context or in a study context that's kind of answers to our needs. Or then the environment where I'm in is able to, that I'm able to shape it, or for example, employees and managers and supervisors are willing to kind of do this job crafting. If I, for example, notice that I'm not in the right place at the moment in our organization, I would be better in this and this position. So there would be room for discussions like this and possibilities to move around.
Yeah, and that also links to the self-awareness.
Yeah.
To know what you want, what you're interested about, and where are your strengths.
Yeah, because and then also you are more able to have these negotiations, for example, in development discussions.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't know yourself, how can you communicate that to your boss?
Exactly. And final question, how can work support our overall well-being? That's a wide topic.
Yeah, good questions. Well, in many ways, for example, this vocational meaning and fulfillment survey that I have been developing the past 5 years with my colleagues, there are 7 different areas. And for some, you know, just basic needs that you get enough salary to live that kind of life that you want. It's one thing that corresponds, for example, to financial and well-being, that you are able to provide things to your family that you like. But then for some others, career success might be what they are looking after. So if the work provides that, it kind of lifts up your self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And prestige and things like that. But then for others, work kind of gives you community where to be in. I studied this work-family interface, and when people are at their middle life ages, you know, they have small children, maybe they have stayed home a couple of years. They are so eager to get back to work to talk with adults. So or then there might be, you know, that the family life might be that there are some really big issues, for example, financial issues, or then there might be marital disagreements or something like that. So work can compensate with the good colleagues and things like that. So I think that in really, really many ways, there are these financial gains, then there are these, you know, self-esteem gains that it kind of builds up your identity where you are good at. And then there are these belongingness, community needs. And if you take, for example, the self-determination theory, where you have these psychological basic needs of autonomy, and then you have this belongingness or closeness. And what's the third one? I always forget that, capability. So it kind of fulfills those needs for you, and through that, when our needs are fulfilled in these different many areas, it produces you different kind of well-being.
Yeah. Would you have any really important things you would like to say to our course audience in the end of this discussion?
Take time for yourself to figure out who you are and what you want from life at this point. And remember, it probably changes. So take this time after a couple of years again throughout your life.
That's a really good advice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Johanna. It was such a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah.